proven from the scripture that Miriam was the rebel. Who's the side of you that doesn't want to please God? Who's the side of you that we are told in Romans is enmity against God? That's the part of you that does the flesh, that does not want to serve God. And until Jesus Christ returns and gives us a glorified body, you're stuck with that side of you. And that side of you just simply does not want to be with Christ. And then there's Moses, the side of you. Moses means to be saved and to be delivered and to be rescued. Literally, the name means to be rescued. So see, when you were saved, you were rescued. But remember, God rescued or saved your soul, not your body. Your body is still the same. So now you have, before you had a body of soul and spirit that I wanted to be wrong. Now you have a body that wants to be wrong, a soul that wants to be right, and a spirit that can't make up its mind. And that's how it does both. And that's what we're talking about today, your spirit, your Aaron. Now look here, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Before, when Aaron was speaking and agreeing with Moses, God delivered them out of the land of Egypt, took them out of bondage. We had the Red Sea experience and all kinds of miracles, right? Because Aaron was speaking for Moses. Remember, Moses said, Lord, I can't come. And he said, I'll give you one who will do your talking. So you see, the right side of you, your brain can't say anything. Your soul can say nothing. If we were to stand here and wait for my soul to say something, we'd listen to that sound, and that's about it. The spirit in me has to do the talking. Now, my spirit, my errand, is no different than yours. It can go either way. And how do you know if it's God using my spirit? If it's the spirit of God using my spirit, it'll be the word of God. It won't tell you what my body wants. It'll tell you what God wants. It'll tell you what the saved part of me knows is right. But see, Moses has the same problem that Miriam does. Moses can't talk, and neither can Moses. The wrong side of you can't say anything. Walk up to the bar and see if your flesh can order anything. So just sit there looking dumb. The spirit has to say, give me a double or a triple or a quadruple or whatever you drink. So you see, your body and your soul both, without the spirit to speak, are lost. Now, Miriam, the wrong side of you knows that, and so does Moses. So we're going to find during this wilderness experience, whenever Aaron spoke in agreement with Moses, God prevailed. And whenever Aaron agreed with the people, with Miriam, with the wrong side, things went down the tube. Now, Christian, does it take a genius to figure out that if you're spirit, if you're speaking things, and things are going down the tube, you are not agreeing with God? Because see, God says you'll know the spirit by the fruit. And if your life is falling apart, your spirit, your Aaron, is not talking what God wants it to say. What's your spirit all right? You're talking, but it's the wrong thing. How do I know that? The truth. God is the giver of good gifts. How can God use your spirit to bring you trouble and tribulation and anxiety and difficulty? It's impossible. See, what's happening is you're being schooled to think that your spirit is speaking the word of God, but yet everything is going wrong. Now, when Aaron spoke and agreed with Miriam, everything went wrong. But see, Aaron has a difficulty, and it's one that you and I have. Aaron agrees with everybody. And until you get smart enough to recognize, you cannot trust your spirit. You have to try the spirit, listen to what it's saying, to know when to come. And I'm going to prove to you, you can't trust it. Numbers 12:1. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now there's Aaron agreeing with Miriam and speaking against Moses. But in Exodus 7:20, and you don't need to turn to these, I'm going to go very fast. In Exodus 7:20 it says, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. So you see, Aaron can agree with the Lord, but Aaron can also speak against Moses by agreeing with the flesh. So you cannot trust Aaron. You have to listen to that sucker to see what he's saying and test it against the word. So you see, Aaron spoke against Moses, but he's also spoke with Moses and did as the Lord commanded. However, Aaron doesn't stop there. In Exodus 32:1, it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron." Not to Miriam. They gathered themselves unto Aaron, because somebody's got to do the talking there. It's always the Spirit. They gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, "Make us gods which shall go before us." Now, Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. They've already had the Red Sea, they've had all the plagues, they've had all the miracles. God has shown himself with manna and the quails and water out of the rock, every kind of miracle you can think of. And these people go to Aaron and say, "Make us a god." Oh, we don't know where Aaron's at. There's no Moses is at. What does Aaron do? He'll speak whatever he tells. So now he's going to go along with the people. Now in Exodus 32:3 it says, "And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and drop them into Aaron. And he received them at their hands and fastened it with a grazing tool after he made a golden calf." In other words, he melted down all the earrings, he brought the gold out, he fastened it, he carved it, he worked, and he carved and he sculptured and worked and polished and what have you. And there it was. He did it. And verse 5, it says, "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord,' as he's pointing at this golden calf that he did, because the people wanted it. Same man that did what the Lord commanded. Same man that says, 'Go down the rod,' and he became a serpent and took up the serpent and swallowed up the ones of Pharaoh. Same man that gives the baptism is now doing what the people of him said, 'Make us a golden calf.'" So you make the mistake of thinking because you're popular and people come to you that you're spiritual. You see, spiritual partner, this man tries to please everybody, doesn't he? He tells you when you go someplace where they tell you, "Woe to you when men will speak all manner of good about you. You're in deep trouble." So that man's lying to you if he's telling you how good you are. There is none good except the Father in heaven. Not even Jesus would allow himself to be called good. And you like to be called good. You like to be told and have fun and raptures and emotions and feel good. You're not good. The only good in you is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that you have. And then it's only because we receive the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. So thanks to say that this man is now doing exactly the opposite. But he doesn't say he likes to please everybody. Now watch how this thing happens. When you try to please everybody, your life is going to go down the tank. So you see, Aaron did as the Lord commanded, but Aaron also did as the people commanded. You see, Aaron tries to please God, then Aaron tries to please all the people, and next Aaron's got to please himself. Now let me show this to you. Aaron's going to handle this problem. He just created this spiritual side. Remember, Moses said, "I don't know how to, I can't talk." And God said, "Aaron will do your talking." But Satan can't talk either. He needs your Aaron. He needs that part of you to do the talking. So when evil comes out of your mouth, when you accuse the brethren, when you find fault in people or yourself, that's the devil using you to do the talking. Now, look at the problem this man created for himself, and look how he handles it. Exodus 32:19. Maybe you should turn this, if we're going to follow this one for a while. See, now Aaron is going to try to please God, please Moses, please the people, please himself. And how's he going to do that? The calf did it all. The golden calf is the one that's to blame for all of this. Now, in Exodus 39, you'll see how he's going to handle it. It says, "And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into camp that he saw the calf and the dancing," which is Moses, "and Moses rang anger." Now notice what happens. Moses is coming back from the tablet. He saw the calf, this worship, the title of their worship, and the dancing. That's why I tell you, sit down and listen. You can't hear when you're jumping around and dancing. And they couldn't do this. Nowhere will you ever see when Jesus Christ is preaching that the people are up and shouting and dancing and howling. They sat down and listened. But now here, these people are worshiping an idol. And so they saw the calf, he saw the calf, and the dancing. They were having a party. They were feeling good, weren't they? They were feeling good, high, wonderful emotions. And Moses anger that calf. Verse 21 says, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? In other words, what in the world did they do to you to cause you to bring this sin upon them? Now who was he talking to? The one that was the company. So God is saying, what did that flesh side of you do to cause you to speak these wrong things to bring this sin upon you? It's very explicit here. You can't understand. By your words, you shall be justified. By your words, you shall be condemned. And the only one that can do the words is the Spirit. Why do you think there's such a move now for everyone to be saved? I'm not opposed to that. God knows that. I'm just saying, you can have the Spirit. And if something's coming out of that Spirit, that mouth, it isn't in this book, you got trouble. Moses said unto him, what did this people unto do unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Now, let me see if you can go and get out of this, or try to. First, he tried to please everybody. He's the one that made it. He's the one that said, bring me the rulers. Now that he's come, now that he's made a mess and it's not unlike you, you do what you want. You try to please the pastor, you try to please your wife, you try to please yourself, you try to please everybody. And now the mess starts. Your family's breaking up. You're breaking up. Your health is going down the tube. Everything's going wrong, and you did it. So now it's time for you to blame everybody for what you did. And that's seriously? Yes, it is. Blame seriously. Exodus 32:22. First, Aaron blames the people. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. In other words, you know how Miriam is. You know how the flesh side of me is. You know that it always wants to be mischief. That's why I didn't know that. But what is it that you do it to bring so great a sin upon them? See, they want a sin, but you brought them the ability. Because you know the people have said I missed it. In other words, it wasn't my fault. I thought, I didn't think this was a good idea, but you know the people. Maybe they had a dream. He was wrestling with him and choking him and making him, I appreciate that. Because that's the way it is. I stand before you and I could wipe you out at a moment's notice. But yet I can't. I've got to wait and wait and wait until you're ready. And in the meantime, I have to take your dirty look and your anger towards me. Why? Because I'm telling you the truth. And you get upset because I don't care if you don't like me. You see, I cannot please you and God too because you have a million in you. You want to be wrong. The flesh is enmity against God, cannot be subject to the law of God. Indeed, never can be. So there's a fight going on. There's a match going on. So now Moses, the spiritual person, is speaking and is blaming someone else for what he did. That's exactly what some of you do. As a matter of fact, that's what you all do. You get it and then you blame somebody else. And then now he's going to blame Moses. In fact, in verse 23, for they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us, as for this Moses, up out of the land of Egypt, we want more. In other words, if you hadn't been up on that mountain, and getting all the commandments, if you had been here, Then they would have asked me, wouldn't have asked me, and I wouldn't have had to please them. And none of this would have happened. If you thought, what am I supposed to do? Sorry, you heard, and I need a job, and say, no, no, no. That's what you want. You can only think good and do right and think right and true. The rest of the time, of all existence, you do what the people want to do. You see, he blamed Moses because you weren't here. That's why I did what I had to be done. So you think you can impress me or God by saying, my soul didn't want to do it. I know that. God knows that. He says, that's not the process. Two of you did it. What you said was what your flesh wanted. And your flesh wants what the devil wants. So when two of you agreed, two of the three of you agreed, you went out and bought and did and suffered all three of you. Because if you understand this, even though your soul is saved, it's suffering what the rest of you are suffering. Even though your flesh is not saved, it's enjoying whatever blessings your soul has. So why do you care what the flesh says? Why do you have to be told wonderful things? Why do you like to go to places where they're going to tell you how wonderful you are? Because you see, the minute you think you're wonderful, that's the Miriam, that's the spirit, you're going to start saying and agreeing with yourself, and then all three of you get that. And see, Jesus said, the problem is, there are three of you. But only two of you have to agree. Now, we know that the soul and the spirit never agree. So who's the twin vote? Your mouth, your spirit, what you say. Jesus didn't give you power if you need someone else to agree with you. It's taught in churches, they say, well, will you agree with me in prayer? Well, if that's the case, if I can't find anyone to agree with me in prayer, then I don't have power over anything, then how can God judge me for not changing anything in my life if I needed you? He gave me power and dominion. He said, I give you power and dominion over Satan and all the powers of darkness. Now, if I have to go around with you and beg you and try to convince you to agree with me, I'm in trouble. And vice versa. He said, look, there's three of you, but if any two of you agree, if the Aaron in you agrees with Miriam, trouble. If the Aaron in you agrees with Moses,
then you have blessing.
So obviously the trouble is Miriam. We can't blame Aaron. He just can agree with whatever. He agreed with the people. He agreed with God. He agreed with Aaron. He agreed with the calf. He agreed with everybody, but he also blamed everybody. So we can't trust Aaron. We know Miriam can't be trusted because she's always going to be wrong. And we know that Moses wants to be right. So do we trust Aaron then forever? And say, well, some of the days I feel this way and some. No. What do we have to do? We've got to get rid of Miriam. Because you see, the minute Miriam's gone, then Aaron won't agree with her because he agrees with everybody. So now it's time to kill and to bury Miriam. Numbers 21, and then we'll quit. Numbers 20, verse 1. I'll just say Numbers 21. There was a pause, but it wasn't clear. Numbers, the 20th chapter, and verse 1. Time to kill Miriam. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. So we need to get her to Zin, and then we have to abide in Kadesh. And there Miriam cannot stand. She died and is buried there. Unfortunately, because you are in the image and likeness of God and you have power and dominion over Satan and all the powers of darkness, part of that darkness is death, you can resurrect her as soon as you leave. But first of all, we need to take her to Zin. Zin means to prick, and it means a crag. In other words, Miriam cannot stand criticism. You know what prick means? It means a puncture made by a sharp point. Boy, and when I make a sharp point and goes up there, it just makes a little hole in you, and all the spirit comes out of you. See, this is what the sermon's all about, is to put a hole in you. Really sharp point. Prick also means a sharp pain caused by a sharp point. See, this is a sermon, isn't it? This is the man of God that doesn't care what you think is going to tell you the truth, and if it doesn't hurt and doesn't put a hole in you, something's wrong with it. Miriam's never going to die any other way. Prick also means to put a hole in something with a sharp point. You've got to put a hole in your argument. In fact, some of you, you know this. You walk out of here counting, feeling, and looking like you're too. Full of holes. And you think you're holy. Now, there's an E in there that doesn't belong. But how do we do this? Do we just fight and argue? As one of the brothers said, do we fight and struggle and argue? No, you do it with a crag. You know what a crag is? A rugged rock rising above all others. If Jesus isn't first, you're wrong. Now, Jesus was put first even above the Father. He says, I've given you a name above every name. Now, if Jesus has a name above every name, and God the Father said it, for whatever reason, he's exalted Jesus, which is God, above everything. Now, if it includes the Father, it includes the Spirit. Jesus is number one. Jesus is the name which is above every name. So you see, if your church, if your philosophy, what you think isn't built on Jesus first, you're wrong. Now, I didn't say Jesus only. Because Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And he said, I give you the Spirit, receive you the Spirit. But God said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. He didn't say, this is my beloved Spirit, hear ye it, or hear ye him. He said, this is my beloved Son. And he didn't even say, this is the beloved me, hear ye me. He said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Now, does that diminish the Father or the Spirit? No, it exalts Jesus. That's what this whole thing is about. And you think of any religion you want to think of that takes Jesus out of number one and puts something or someone above Jesus or even equal with Jesus, and you got a problem. And that's not of my making. God the Father said he has a name above every name. And Jesus himself said, all dominion has been given to me. And then he turned around and gave it to me. But see, I didn't say this. Jesus said it. Now, if you don't believe Jesus, you're in the wrong place. Jesus is Lord. Yes. We even got it on the desk. So you see, you have to go to them. You have to put holes in all your philosophy to show you how wrong you are and cause some sharp pain with a sharp point. But instead, you want to feel good. You want to dance. You want to have emotion. No, you're here for surgery. Pulse, pinch, prick, make holes, let the air out of you. Why? Because if you're not in the desert of Zin, Miriam, you can't go to Kadesh. Because Kadesh is in Zin. So you see, you have to go to Zin to get to Kadesh. And Miriam is dead and buried in Kadesh. The people abode in Kadesh. Now, Zin is what happens in Kadesh. There's a sharp point made that causes sharp pain. You have holes put in you with sharp points in Zen. That's what's happened. But where does all this happen? In Kadesh. And what does Kadesh mean? The sanctuary. The church. A holy place as a building set aside for worship of God. In other words, if you come to Kadesh, that puts holes in what you're doing and shows you that you're wrong, you're not in Zen. I have no idea where you're at, but it isn't Zen. And that's why you walk out with your Miriam intact, because it's what you came into. You're not dead and buried. It's in the sanctuary that this happens. Sanctuary also means a particularly holy place within the church. In other words, the sanctuary is the holy place. You are the holy of holies. Why? Because Jesus actually, God actually lives in everybody in here. If you're saved, God lives in you. So you see, what has to happen? Well, we have to make some sharp points and cause you some sharp pain so that Jesus, the truth, can get into that Holy of Holies. It isn't this building, it's you. That's where Miriam has to be dead and buried, in you. Why? Because that's where she lives, in you. And she lives by you giving you good things, candy, cookies, cake, compliments. And she dies by saying, no, that's wrong, and that's wrong. See, just like your kids spoiled them. The minute you tell your kids they're wrong and you refuse to give them what they want, they'll leave, won't they? Well, so will Miriam. But sanctuary, this place that we come to worship, you need to understand how important. Your life is still a mess. And then you went someplace, as I did, to a church that was no sanctuary. They told me everything was fine. I was fine, you're fine, everybody's fine, God loves us all. Well, why do I need protection from that? So then I'd go out there and my life was still a mess. It's a place of refuge or protection. But it's also an asylum. Sanctuary means an asylum. You're going to find out what God is saying about us. Sanctuary also is a place where fugitives from justice are immune from arrest or punishment. Every one of you is a sinner. I'm a sinner. We all sinned last week. We all sinned today. We are fugitives from justice. We deserve punishment. But by the shed blood of Christ, I have grace, forgiveness, and I am delivered in the sanctuary. So, oh God, what does that mean when I leave here? No. Holy of Holies leaves with you. But see, some of you leave Holy of Holies here. And then you get out there and you're a fugitive from justice, but you're no longer immune from arrest or punishment. And that's why your life is a mess. That's why you're hurting, brother. That's why you're hurting, sister. Because you don't know what the sanctuary's for. You think it's a dance hall. You think it's a place to feel good. No, it's a place of refuge and protection. It's a place where you go where you understand you're a fugitive from justice and you deserve what you're getting. But by the shed blood of Christ, I am delivered. And grace says, even though I deserve it, I don't get it. But until you understand that that's what the sanctuary is all about, you're not going to get it. And when you get out of here and you talk to yourself, do you take yourself to Zen? No, you take yourself to Disneyland. And you tell yourself all kinds of wonderful things about yourself, and you've learned. You should say, brother, I say, Reuben, that's wrong. You shouldn't even think that way. What's the matter with you? You're a child of God. You shouldn't do. I have to Zen myself every day. Put a G on the end of it. Zing! Went the strings of his mouth. See, you got to be. Look, brother, you got to be told the truth. But here's the difficulty. I try my best, as the brother said. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. And you leave and lie to yourself. And you have more power with you than I do. See, the sanctuary is a place where you're a fugitive from justice, but it's a place where you're immune from arrest or punishment. Well, what is the sanctuary? It's the Holy of Holies. Jesus saved your soul, so where did Jesus live? In your soul. So what happens when you go out there and you do something wrong and you're a fugitive from justice? Get into the sanctuary. Get into the rational mind and say, this is wrong. I did it. This is a sin. Lord God, forgive me, please. I claim the shed blood of Christ. And don't get angry. Don't get upset. Don't get into the emotions. Don't get into the flesh. Run for the sanctuary. Stay there. You don't come out of the sanctuary and nobody touches you. But you see, there are people that lure you and say, come on out. We want to feel good. Come on out here. This is where it's really at. You're out of the sanctuary. And you don't have to believe me, just check out the fruit of what you're doing. And then for those of you that think, well, how does he know that and what is, I don't care about your opinion, you know that? Because God also tells me that sanctuary means asylum. And asylum means a place or an institution to take care of the mentally ill. See, so God says their thoughts are not my thoughts, they're mentally ill. Their ways are not my ways. I say, Lord, look what brother such and such thinks of me. He says, so what? His thoughts and my thoughts are not the same. And then I say, well, what do you think of me? And then I look in here and he says, how beautiful are the feet of the one who preaches the gospel of peace. And
And I care what you think. I have to be as mentally ill as you are. You see, what God really says, don't let them get you out of your sanctuary. Just because they want to do bad and speak bad and do wrong, you're going to speak bad and criticize them back. You've left the sanctuary. You left the only place. You've left Kadesh, the only place where Miriam can be killed and buried. Asylum also means a place where one is safe and secure. It's a safe place for the mentally ill. And I'm not saying you're unintelligent. What I'm saying is your thoughts and his thoughts are not the same. My thoughts and his thoughts are not the same. So I don't bring you my thoughts, I bring you his. He said, look, understand how important it is to come to this sanctuary where the zen, the zings are going on. And the crag rises, the rock rises above all others. Now you're in Kadesh, the sanctuary, the place where your soul is safe. And the place where your spirit can no longer speak but what's right. But if your soul is saved in the sanctuary, then somebody's in trouble. And guess who? Miriam. Miriam died there. And Miriam is buried there. Now, I can kill her. The word of God kills her. But you know who has to bury her? You do. Now let me tell you, I'll do my job. I've been doing it for 2 hours. Let me tell you what my job is. Miriam died there. Died means to become senseless and unproductive, to be lacking in positive qualities, to be without power, to be extinct, no longer working, no longer moving, no longer used, and obsolete. I've told you, she's worthless, she's no good, don't use her, she has no power. I killed her. Now you have to bury her. Buried means to put into a grave and to bury. Now you know what the word bury means? To put away from one's mind or life. As long as you don't do that, she's dead, but she's not buried. Also, it means, buried means to put into a grave. Now I'm going to tell you how to keep her there. You know what grave means? Anything that requires serious thought. Grave means dignified and solemn and sedate, peaceful and calm in manner. It means to be of a calm mind, to be unemotional. That's what grave means. So you see that as long as you are unemotional, calm, sedate, dignified, then the one that isn't calm, sedate, and dignified is buried. She's graved. But what she wants to do is pull you out of there because she can live out there in all the excitement. But as long as you say, by his stripes I am healed. No weapon fashioned shall prosper against me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Even though things are coming and going and it looks bad, no, I stay grave in mind. And Miriam says, aren't you ever going to move either? I've got to have some room. No. No, no. My God killed you, and I'm going to bury you. And Miriam, the devil, the enemy, tries to get you out of a dignified, calm, sedate, rational frame of mind so that Miriam can dance again. And now you're off to the races. Check your life. Check the fruit of your life. If you're happy with the fruit and you like the way your life is going and you don't agree with what I've said, then enjoy it. But if you don't agree with what I've said and you believe something else, but the fruit in your life is wrong, then there's something wrong with you. And it's not my judgment to make. I'm only here to zen you. And I'm only here to offer you Kadesh. I'm here to tell you that that wrong in you can be dead and buried. But you see, God's not going to do it all. He'll kill it. The Word of God will kill it. But if you don't bury it, it's going to be resurrected. Get emotional, get angry, get upset, do whatever you want. Anything that takes you out of that takes you out of the grave. Takes you out of the grave, dignified, solemn, sedate, peaceful frame of mind. And when you get emotional, you'll believe anything. You can't talk to a person who's emotional or drunk. They're the same thing. They don't hear right. So your life can be whatever you want it to be. I'm just saying, don't trust Aaron. As long as Miriam's around, he will jump back and forth. The only way you can trust your spirit is you must go to Zen and Kadesh. And then when you get it, take it with you. Don't leave it here. Don't think it lives just in me. It's in you too. Or you're going to go out and have a horrible week and come back on Sunday ready to praise again. And it's sad for you to enjoy your Christianity 4 hours a week when you could enjoy it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, 366 this year. You get an extra day thrown in for good measure. The choice is yours. You make the choice. All I can do is Zen you. I've done Zen you. I've Kadeshed you. The rest is up to you. Brother Weldon, would you close the services in prayer?